Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW. The ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
What's trending?
What's trending here on Cody and Gold is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at BakerU.edu. A little update on practice today for the Chiefs for the second straight day. No Chimari Connor. He's dealing with that concussion. He's not going to practice. Also, DJ Humphrey. So I think it's fair to say on a Wednesday already that DJ Humphrey's not playing on Saturday, and nobody expected Chimari with a obviously dangerous play and hit with him being in concussion protocol. Patrick Mahomes will once again practice. We'll see if he's a full participant as he was yesterday, but it looks like they're going to have to go Joe Tooney on Saturday once again.
Yeah, and honestly, if you're doing that, I don't know if you don't just go with him on a Wednesday. The injury thing's the same. What, 3 days later, he's fine? Yeah, you get another 10 days. You buy 10 days by waiting one additional game. Feels like it might be worth it, especially for an injury and chance for Rio.
I think they have to find out, though, if DJ Humphries can put together back-to-back games.
That's fair.
So in a way, like he's not going to play Saturday. I need him to play Wednesday. And then I want to see his body recover after 10 days and get ready for the Broncos and play.
Because if not, then Tooney's got to be getting all these left tackle reps so we know that he's good for the playoffs. Next up on What's Trending, Kansas State lost to Drake last night at T-Mobile Center, 73-70.
Overtime.
Tight game. Overtime, Ben McCollum, the former Northwest Missouri State head coach, is now the coach over at Drake. He had said that Kansas City continues to be underutilized, in his opinion, in the recruiting. He pretty much, as you told me, brought his entire Northwest Missouri State team over. He's having a lot of success at Drake.
Yeah, brought numerous guys over, a lot of experience. They know the terminology. They're familiar with each other. It's why a lot of times you see, especially early on, we'll see what February means for Drake in the Missouri Valley, but early on in the year, teams that have a ton of experience, sometimes they get out of the gate quick because they're used to playing.
Especially
with the
transfer portal and all these other teams are really trying to figure that out, as in they don't already know the system. Also, UMKC did beat Wichita State last night on the road. Big win for the Ruse.
It was.
Rough start for the Ruse this year in some road non-con play. That was a big win for the Ruse. Wichita State was heavily favored in that matchup. That was an 8-2 team going into the game. For the Ruse, man. Big win.
Ruse were 14-point dogs. They get the outright win. It was a bye game. They got paid to go out to the Roundhouse and Coke Arena there in Wichita, and they come away with a 10-point win. The Ruse are 7-7. 7-7 now. The Shockers fall to 8-3. Next up on What's Trending, we've been talking about throughout the show today, Michael Penix is going to get the start for the Falcons against the Giants and the rest of the way. The Michael Penix era is underway as Kirk Cousins has been benched due to performance. Coaching staff watching that game on Monday night, I don't know how you can think that you can continue to win games with Kirk Cousins. That was a game in which he completed 11 passes. They found a way to win against a bad Raiders team. This gives him a chance. This gives him a chance. They're a game out of a divisional title, right? They're a game back of the Bucks. Both the Bucks and Falcons feel like they need a win out, because again, the Falcons have the tiebreaker even though they're a game back. So the Bucks cannot tie. So as much as we talk about like the Bucks going to win the division, if the Falcons win out, the Bucks also need a win out.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's going to create an interesting scenario, certainly, but Kirk Cousins, you almost can't play worse. So, like, I don't know in a situation where that's going to drive you off of it. I mean, it just kind of makes sense that way. Next up on What's Trending, Adam Silver tells the media that he's monitoring what is happening again with three-pointers in the NBA. The Boston Celtics are on pace to set a record of three-pointers made and shot in a season by, like, a mile. I mean, they're just almost exclusively shooting three-pointers, as in the paint doesn't even exist. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't stopped them from winning a lot of games here early on. The NBA's got a problem where it has become free-swinging from the three-point line because the math suggests, and is correct, that it's more valuable based on the number they're shooting. The simple solution is obvious. Scoot it back.
Yep.
Scoot the three-point line back and see what kind of impact that has.
Get rid of the corner three.
Yeah, it's not hard to figure out what to try before you get to the next thing. It's just move the line back.
Yeah, unless it's a high-stakes playoff game or, I guess, the NBA Cup final last night, the games are tough to watch. They just are. They're tough to watch.
Not a lot of basketball. Just shooting.
Yeah, that game last night was tough to watch, too.
Yeah, I mean, Milwaukee wins the NBA Cup over the Thunder. I think the moving it back is the simplest. There's some other more aggressive changes that people have thrown out. These aren't my ideas. These are just discussions that have been out there already. The one other solution from some is don't move the three-point back. Make a dunk worth more points. You're like, why does that matter? Well, it would encourage you to drive the paint.
You're going to try to get to the rim?
So all of a sudden, a dunk. Not a basket in the paint. A dunk is all of a sudden worth 3 points.
Some people can't dunk, though.
Some of you are like, that's
front
crazy.
Ass alley-oops, man.
I don't know if I like that idea, but all options should be on the table. Moving it back seems like the obvious one. Mm-hmm. But that one was interesting. Like, could you imagine if all of a sudden, like, actual dunks are 3 points? You just dunk. You don't have to dunk on someone, but dunks are 3 points.
If you dunk on somebody, they should make it 3 points.
That's
now.
Actually 10. If it's on his head, if we all agree it's a 10 out of 10 on his head, then
Anthony Edwards would be getting all of them.
King of the league.
Him and John.
Yeah, moving the lineback works to a certain extent, but someone points out, it's like, well, wouldn't there just be more misses?
But that's supposed to encourage you to get closer.
You would not take them if you're
the
not making.
The math would say you shouldn't.
If
be
all of a sudden
exactly.
the percentage of makes for those
went
threes goes, yeah, goes down to, I don't know what the current percentage is. Let's say it went down to 30% or something. Well, you're not going to keep shooting it if you're only making them 30% of the time. Anyway, so we'll see. Yeah, someone would say, what do you do about, if you move the lineback, what do you do about corners? Well, you would
get rid of them.
You would basically get rid of
squeeze
them.
Squeeze them.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could even take the three-point line out of bounds before you get all the way to the corner if you want. Space the floor differently. But they're going to have to do something. They don't have to do it yet, but it's like similar to baseball. It's like you get to a point where it's so disadvantageous. Baseball's still trying to figure out how to get the ball in play.
Yeah, the game evolves. You have to adapt with rules. So lastly, real quick on what's trending. The Ivy League says they're going to join the FCS playoff for college football starting next year. In the past, the Ivy League regular season, and then it was over. That's it. Now they'll have a chance to play in the postseason.
Those Yale and Harvard teams, good for them.
Last thing on the basketball thing. Someone says, how about just guarding the shooter? Well, this is like one of those things that, like, if you haven't been in an NBA shoot-around or something on the floor, it's just kind of hard to fathom. I cannot begin to describe to you, even the guy you think can't shoot, I cannot even begin to describe to you what the level of shooting is in the NBA. Guarding them has nothing to do with it. It's nuts.
Yeah,
like, if you think that scene from Pleasantville is a joke, it's not. They just make.
Yeah, they're that good.
It's
not the, like,
every shot.
Frankly, like, the lazy take of they don't play defense in the NBA. Like, it's not. Wake yourself up from 2009. Like, this is not as high end. Yeah, I mean, it's not that. That's just like a lazy for people that don't like the NBA take, is what it is. I'm not saying that texture is, but, like, when I hear that, that's what I think of, because it's something that people would use for the last 15 years. And in the All-Star game, they're not playing defense. Yeah. If that's the only NBA you watch, then you're right. They don't play defense. The All-Star game's a joke.
And the score is like 200 to 150.
But to act like it's just because they don't play defense. No, these guys are making contested shots. Watch Damian Lillard every single night when he plays. Every three of his is contested, and he makes them. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, every shot is over, like, the fingertips of a different player. It's just,
there's guys who are literally sharpshooters who just enter the game to shoot threes.
It's crazy. In which they can score and the ability to score.
I saw this too real quick regarding K-State and Drake. So Kansas State paid Coleman Hawkins $2 million. He's making more money than Drake's coaches.
That's wild. NIL era. Everybody thought they overpaid to begin with, though, for the transfer.
Seems like it even more so now.
Well, in fairness, they're going to have to, like, this is the part of the college basketball that people are going to start to feel more like pros. The reality is you are, because of the way you're paid. that number is going to start getting thrown in your face. Like before, you'd just be like, well, you should play better. Now it's going to be like, we're paying you $3 million. Really, what are you doing here? Like that number is going to get thrown in your face. People are going to be more critical of your play, even more so than before now that you're being paid. Although college fandom's always been kind of that way.
All right, coming up in 20 minutes, we'll talk some baseball with the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, J.J. Pecola. If you want to know what the plan might be the rest of this winter for the Royals, you want to listen to our conversation with J.J. Pecola. I know a lot of Royals fans were on Twitter yesterday, and we got some text messages. Hey, make sure you ask him about this or whatever. We'll try to work in some of those questions. A lot of stuff we were already planning on asking. We'll ask him about Cody Bellinger, because I know a lot of you thought that was a name that the Royals could maybe be after. We'll find out. Were the Royals involved in any discussions with the Cubs? At least we'll ask him about it, as Cody Bellinger is now a member of the New York Yankees. And we'll also get into some of the stuff that's been floating around baseball, just ideal-wise, right? Rob Manfred had some recent comments about contract deferrals can be, become problematic. I'm curious the Royals organization view deferrals. Yeah. I know they haven't done them here, but just how do they view that in baseball? So that's coming up in just a bit. But let's get back into the Chiefs and Andy Reid adjusting. And I know there's this thought that some things you're going to go ahead and continue to do. That's who you've been your entire career. And I think there's definite truth to that. Certain clock management, game management stuff. I do think for one game, there's things that can happen that cause you to adjust. Maybe it doesn't mean he fixes it for the rest of his season or career.
Saturday.
But for one game, and that is that you didn't have a sharp game calling plays. You didn't have a sharp game handling challenges. You didn't have a sharp game protecting your quarterback. And the fourth down play that quarterback got hurt on, right? Fortunately, Mahomes is not done for the season or anything. There's a very good chance he's playing on Sunday. Does an injury, though, to your quarterback cause you to step back? And at least for one game, say, you know what? I might need to actually be a little more cautious with how I go about my business calling plays, whether that means running the ball more, whether it means we're talking about getting quick passes out. All of that can help protect your quarterback. And I wonder if saying that and seeing it until there's an injury doesn't mean a whole lot. But when you see your quarterback get hurt, does that cause you, at least for one week, to step back? And do you see an adjustment on Saturday?
I think you have to. I don't think that we're going to go into this with the same game plan defensively. And Houston, they're not nearly the defense that the last opponent was on the defensive line. And they're not what Wednesday's opponent is with TJ Watt, or honestly, Denver is in the final week of the season. So this is the lightest defensive line and pass rush you're going to face the rest of the way for the final month of the season. Andy, I'll give him a lot of credit over the course of the years. I just think that this is going to have to teach him the lesson about how much he can pass. And I know that, like you and I said, like he doesn't change from the run. Fine. Do I still think he's going to just stop passing the ball? No. That's crazy, and I don't think it's going to be the case. But yeah, for this Saturday, I think they'll run the ball. Like, not just from a betting end of, like, bet Pacheco overs. I just think that when you look at what the game plan will be, I think Andy knows he has to be more conservative in this one, knowing the left tackle situation. And look, I think some of it is probably the comfort that we all got lulled into in the first half. He probably felt like, for a minute, we're good. Look at us, man. We're fine. Tooney's holding up. Things are going great. Offensive line, I thought, played well in the first half. I thought a lot of other things were going wrong on offense, but for the most part, Mahomes was like, he's standing back there a little bit. That Noah Gray touchdown he had all damn day to stand back there on that one. It's like, okay, seems like it's going okay. And then they just, the heat checked too late. And the fourth quarter, Myles Garrett had taken over the third quarter. And you thought, we could probably get one off. It'll be fine. And you flew too close to the sun. You Icarus'd, and then you found yourself in trouble with Myles Garrett, which eventually got Patrick Mahomes hurt. I'll point out that the whole QB sneak thing is based on the idea that Andy Reid changed an entire philosophy because he got his quarterback hurt one time. And this one, more than the other ones, where just like pressure happens and sometimes you get hurt, Alex, this was his doing. None of that had to happen. He didn't have to throw in that situation. He didn't have to throw at all. He didn't have to run six straight pass plays in the second half when they were leading by two or three scores. He chose this fate. Like that Patrick Mahomes was eventually going to get hit in that game by Myles Garrett, considering what you had said on Monday, that this is the single most times they had been pressured at the quarterback position in years. I don't remember how
since
many years.
Since 2020.
Okay, yeah. 5 years, 4 years? Sure.
Pressure rate. Yeah, even though the sacks weren't high or anything like that, still the pressure.
Is TJ Watt out for 3 games? Am I wrong?
Where were you seeing that?
Text line was saying that. I didn't realize he was out for 3 games. I knew he was hurt, but
I have not seen that.
No. Okay. I was just asking. Well, Mike Tomlin said he was optimistic about his availability against the Ravens, so I gotta kind of think maybe he's there for Wednesday.
Yeah, that's nowhere out there right now.
Okay. Tomlin yesterday just
coming from
text line said
TJ Watt's texting
from the 913. It said TJ Watt's out for three games. According to Mike Tomlin yesterday when he spoke to the media, he was optimistic about the availability of TJ Watt for the Ravens game on Saturday.
So, there's nothing on social media that would suggest that's accurate at this time.
It's actually the other way. It's suggesting he's probably going to play the game before he plays the Chiefs. So
no, I mean, yeah, suggesting the three-game thing is accurate. That's I don't know where that's coming from. But I thought every text we got in was 100% accurate.
You know, sometimes the text line is right sometimes. Actually, that might be the first time ever. New. That's the first time ever the text line was wrong. Other than that, they've been on.
So they're right about Steelers insider from the 913.
So they're right about what?
So they're right about you fighting Dusty later on at the party.
We do have a holiday party tonight.
Alcohol and beef. You know how that goes sometimes at a party, you know?
That's right. You guys are beefing.
You guys got to sort this out over some cocktails tonight. You guys got to sort this thing out.
He started it. I want to make that clear.
He started it.
Are there going to be like games at this party tonight? I was going to say it was like a pool table or like some cup pong or whatever.
No, it's socialize. Just talk to people.
See, this is Drew. This goes back to the games, non-games family. I actually wouldn't mind some games. What he's talking about, like, that'd be kind of nice. I kind of like something to do. Can I bring my gambling dreidel?
Tell
Pingo to bring singles?
You already know that Carrington's going to bring LCR. You know that it's going to happen. So there's going to be one game there.
That's pretty fair. Well, you better tell people to bring ones. Or he needs poker chips and Venmo.
Just like cup pong, man.
Either way. But yeah, I think this can teach Andy Reid something about this game. I think he's going to have to learn the rest of the way. Because a lot of stuff, we talked about this too. I think a lot of the way Andy Reid spends a season is not what some people say, which is he's stashing it. He's hiding it. No, I think he's testing. He's poking and prodding. He's trying to figure out what parts of his offense work. And so in the passing game, because it's been broken, honestly, for like the whole season, but at least the last 6 weeks, there's just like problems in the passing game that seem to have been unresolved. And so he continues to pass because he wants to poke and prod and find the solution and look for the answer and see the way in which this offense works via the passing game. And he keeps searching for it and not finding it. And I think on this Saturday, knowing he's got the game on Wednesday, knowing that it'll be this is only the second game in a 10-day stretch. Yeah. I think he actually will be cautious. Maybe we're both wrong. I think he's going to throw like 30 times, not 40.
Yeah, it's definitely. We'll see. If anything, it's a one game thing, a one game adjustment. If Carson Wentz was playing, I would feel more likely there would be a clear shift. Mahomes out there, I think it's hard to adjust when at 80% or whatever. It's hard not to just continue that. They're never going to be a run first team. Nobody's saying that. I just think there's certain situations where you could handle a little bit better. That's it. And whenever we say this, there's always one person that texts in. It's like, oh my gosh, he's going to be the greatest coach of all time, and you guys are criticizing. Yes, that's accurate. He's going to be the greatest coach potentially of all time. It doesn't mean he executes perfectly. And I don't know how you could watch Sunday's game against Cleveland and think that was a well-managed game. Sorry. I know they won. And yes, that's the results are what matter. But it might have got your quarterback hurt as well.
Gold, we finally have our best chance to win the office hide and seek.
I know, I saw.
She says it's in sports and news. That's right behind you.
I'm watching.
Send Drew out. He can't win it. He can be our proxy. And if he finds it, you and I get a rock, paper, scissors for who gets the prize.
Split it.
See, you want me to look when you guys are talking to JJ? $100
gift card. What's that?
When you guys are talking to JJ, you want me to...
Yeah, get on the hunt for us.
I mean, everybody's just staring into our show right now, trying to find the elf, which is not in here, by the way. It's somewhere else.
I don't have it. If you see somebody with it, let me know. I checked my desk drawers today. There was nothing in there.
Nobody else is working, I feel.
We're the only people in the building working.
There's like seven people just
I don't want to move the camera too much, but otherwise I would just turn it around and show how many people are just walking around out there. It's funny.
Yes.
We can send Drew as our proxy. He says he'll go look.
There's a scavenger hunt going on in the building, for those wondering.
And also, Drew's got a nose for it. Let's admit that Drew seems to find the hard to find ones.
I found one last year, found one this year, yeah.
Is it because you're trying hard, or are you just better at it? Because my effort is pretty low.
I was lucky, I think, this past one. I just happened to be in a hot spot.
Someone will find it before we go to break.
Spags did not talk about him this week when he spoke to me a little bit ago, but he did last Thursday. I know it's bad that the secondary is thinner. They don't need any more injuries there, so being without Shamari Connor this week, and then it kind of feels like probably Wednesday as a result of that very serious concussion he suffered in the last game, doesn't make me feel like good that the secondary is thinner. As I told you last week, I'm excited to see what Hicks does with the opportunity. Finally got like 50% of the playing time, immediately got his hands on the ball. And in fairness, every single member of the defense got their hands on the ball. So he was not exclusive to that department. He certainly was just one of many interceptions that took place in that game. But like, I still like, it's like the athleticism part that the Chiefs have never made the shift on that I want to do. Can just pure athleticism and less knowledge be better for your defense than more knowledge and less athleticism? Is always been my argument with the Chiefs. And I'm excited to see Jaden Hicks this weekend. I'm curious to see what he can do on Saturday.
Look, the athleticism, nobody's questioning. I mean, he popped off the screen in preseason and everything. I mean, it was very, very evident. I think for him, and now he's going to have to play a little bit more. It's still, you know, there's certain situations when you're an inexperienced player, right? You're going to make some mistakes. You'll get turned around. In fairness, we've seen other guys in the secondary have that happen. Brian Cook has gotten turned around that cost him a play, or should have cost him a play if it wasn't for an overthrow from Herbert. Justin Reed got burned on a play a couple weeks ago. That kind of stuff's going to happen. I think there's a chance that this playing time increase is going to end up paying off for them come playoff time, based off of the athleticism. He's also someone that potentially is their long-term solution, or probably is their long-term solution, at that same spot occupied by Justin Reed. So if he gets some more playoff experience this year, and more experience down the stretch of playing time, it's something that definitely could pay off for them long-term. We'll see if it helps them this year. I think it's more of a, hey, it's gonna really benefit him next season.
Do you worry about the downfall? Because that's really the question. Do you think Hicks is worse than Connor? Like, are they worse as a secondary now that Hicks is going to have to play more? By the way, Hicks was
just the experience part.
Hicks was already playing more, so somebody else is going to have to play more behind him is the problem.
Just the experience part. They're obviously thinner now. In the secondary with Shamari Connor being out for Saturday. I know they haven't ruled him out, but come on now. He's in concussion protocol still.
Somebody said, sounds like Cody's embracing coverage breakdowns. No, but like, I'll be honest, that's already been happening. I'm not lately, not the last couple of weeks for the Chiefs defense, but are we here to pretend like that wasn't their single biggest problem in the secondary, is that they kept blowing deep coverage? So like, maybe Hicks could misread a route and overcome it by running faster. Like, sometimes that's my argument, is when you screw up, the more athletic player has a chance to fix it just based on pure athleticism. The less athletic player is screwed and it's over. And so I guess that's always the argument, is like, if both people are screwing up, give me the athlete. And I know that it's like screwing up to what degree and the things that come with it. But yeah, that's part of where I'm coming from.
His snaps we looked at the snap count last week. I think it was three or four straight weeks where the snaps continued to increase for Jaden Hicks.
And went up the most last week, but Connor also, you know, left the game early.
Yes.
So I kind of changed it too. Good for Hicks for getting a first career interception too. Didn't take him 3 years. It's crazy.
There's certain things that are weird in sports where McDuffie doesn't have one in the first 3 years or whatever, you know, until last week. And you watch, he's going to have another pick in the next month. Because stuff like that's so weird.
He'll have another one.
And his first one comes because he's looking at the Jumbotron. That's crazy.
And then he'll just get one. Yeah, he'll get one Saturday. It won't even be next month. Saturday, career pick number two. Took him 2 years and 14 games, and he got one at the end of the game. It was like, wasn't that turnover six? Like, that was the final or five? I mean, that was like at the end of all of the turnovers, too, somehow. Everyone else got one, then he got one. And then, yeah, this week, they'll have one turnover. It'll be Trent McDuffie.
Coming up next, we're going to talk some Royals baseball with the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, J.J. Piccolo. We'll ask him about potentially Michael Massey learning a new position. How involved, if any, were they in the discussions with the Cubs around Cody Bellinger? Plus more after winter meetings coming up next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure. You think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next here. All right, back here on Cody and Gold. Hope everybody's having a good start to their Wednesday. Lunch Hour, you guys know, is sponsored by our friends over at Jefferson's here on 96.5 The Fan. Catch every game at Jefferson's, from the block field goals to the incredible catches. Witness every moment at a restaurant that's proudly local. Visit Jefferson's in Lenexa or in North Kansas City. Jefferson's wings, burgers, and oysters. Been eating some wings during the break. I think we've been trying to scarf some down. The corn nuggets, there's still some left, man, if you want.
I'll get one in a minute.
The corn nuggets at Jefferson's, man. It's one of my favorite things to order there.
Yeah. Every time you go there, you get them.
That's right. With the honey barbecue or the lemon pepper wings. But thanks to our friends over at Jefferson's. Let's talk some Royals baseball, though. It's been a little while since we had the general manager of the club on the show. Of course, J.J. Piccolo joined us throughout the baseball season. He joins us now on the 96.5 The Fan hotline out of habit. And, you know, that's kind of happens. J.J., good to have you on the show again. How things going? How's the offseason? I would say that you have some time off, but you've been busy with winter meetings.
Yeah, we had a busy week last week, but winter meetings are always fun, and you know they're productive for us. So spent 3 days in Dallas and back home here now, trying to work through the off season.
The rumor is that the GMs like to have a little fun down in the winter meetings. Are you a part of that crew?
I don't know what crew that might be. Couple social calls and then hang out in the room and spend time with our scouts in our front office.
I couldn't figure out exactly on this end how it works, but do you get the invite to all the players' weddings? Like, did you get invited to Bobby Witt Jr.'s?
No. I think, there was a couple weddings over the years I've been invited to, but that's one of those things. I think the players need to enjoy it and they don't want their bosses around.
So you're going to have to watch the photos on People magazine like the rest of us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been filled in. I've seen them.
All right. Well, let's get into what maybe has happened the last couple weeks in particular. And I remember last year, winter meetings, you know, there was some fans at the time where we're looking at what hadn't happened and people were getting antsy. And then ultimately, you guys, of course, make some moves later in January. Take us through what those few days at the winter meetings are like, though. Or how much is it just setting up maybe future moves that you guys could still be making here in the next couple weeks?
Yeah, I think that's where the winter meetings have changed over the years. For a number of years, there was so much action during the winter meetings. Trades were made. Free agents were being signed. I think teams are a little bit more meticulous now and spend more time in their decision-making process. So, you know, we had the GM meetings really the first week of November, and you lay some groundwork there, what you're thinking about your club, and then you go into the winter meetings. You continue those discussions, and now, you know, as the free agents are signing, which is nice because it's earlier this year than it was last year, the free agents are signing, you can sort of see where teams are, you know, where they're going, how they're shaping their clubs, which should lead to better discussions in the coming weeks and months. So I think every offseason, though, it just has a little bit different rhythm to it. You know, last year we left the winter meetings. We had a lot of holes to fill, and, you know, we chose to go the reliever route initially. And, you know, over the course of, you know, what was this week last year, you know, we were able to sign a couple starters, a couple of relievers. Hunter Renfro was in the mix by the end of the week. And then this year is just a little bit different rhythm to it, you know, and that's where we just have to be nimble and be able to work through it, keep thinking, keep challenging, keep asking questions internally and having the conversations with the other clubs, just to, because they're, you know, where they thought they might be going in early November may change, you know, by the beginning of December or the beginning of January. So you just got to stay in contact with the other clubs and, you know, make sure you're on top of what they're thinking.
I know it's a moving target, because it certainly is, but how close do you think you are to what your original plan was going into the offseason, as far as like what percentage are you towards your goal of what you wanted the team to look like by spring?
Well, I would say we're 75% in the sense that we needed to re-sign Michael Wacha or a starting pitcher, and we needed a leadoff hitter. And those two things were accomplished pretty early. Now, you know, we're getting a little bit more specific in how we're trying to finish the club off. You always want pitching depth. If there's pitching available via free agency or through trade, we always have to look at that. You know, right now the left-handed side of another infielder is preferable, but it's more of a role than it is an everyday job. So really we're just, you know, putting those last pieces of the puzzle in place, and that's where we just have to be patient. You know, I at times you get frustrated because you want to know who's on your club and what the club's going to look like and just get into spring training. But I think this year we're going to be a little bit more patient to wait for that right player to become available. Or quite honestly, you know, in our situation, you know, we want some of these prices to come down, you know, when you're talking about a role player. So it's just, yeah, it's just a different feel to it. But to answer your question, the heavy lifting was done with Wacha and Jonathan India.
You mentioned waiting for price to go down. We know last year, ultimately, when you guys were able to sign, maybe I think it was Wacha, if I'm not mistaken, at that point, that was maybe a player that the price did come down, or you were able to at least go into John Sherman and see if you could extend it out a little bit to go, hey, this is a player that can really help our roster. Can we extend this out? Do you feel like you have that flexibility still? If let's say a player was available in January that maybe it's a little bit above what you guys were looking at, do you feel like you have the ability to still do that?
Yeah, I think we have the ability to do it, but where you want to be careful is it needs to be the right player and at the right price. Last year when Michael Wacha was still available, we had a really good sense of what he was going to sign for, and he was the right player for us. You know, the majority of our lineup is back. Our rotation for the most part is back. You know, we're working from a different place this year. I think you want to be opportunistic, and if a player that maybe we're not seeing is available right now and you can go get him, and whether it's I'm talking about trade there, and the price tag's a little bit higher, but it makes sense for the club, not only in the short term, but the long term, that's the appropriate time to have those types of discussions with Mr. Sherman. So he's open-minded. He's always open to ideas. So I don't worry about that. But I like where our payroll is right now. You know, I think we're in a really good spot. We have a little bit of money to spend. We have a few smaller holes to fill. We should be able to manage that well.
Speaking of trades, the one you made, obviously, for Jonathan India a month or so ago meant you had more than one second baseman there for a while. Obviously, the reports is that both India and Michael Massey have offered to play left field for you. You had mentioned to us that Massey had offered that somewhere in the middle of the season. How quickly do you think if you wanted to get him some time out there, how quickly do you think a guy like Michael Massey could pick up left field?
Well, he's a good athlete. I mean, that's I can only go off of past experiences, and the one that really jumps out was when Alex Gordon went from the infield to the outfield and obviously did it exceptionally well. But, Michael, where it starts is, are they athletic enough to go out to left field? Michael Massey is athletic enough to do that. Now it's just a matter of seeing him in that spot. You know, one thing I'll mention that's a little bit different than Alex compared to Michael. Alex played on the left side of the infield at third base. So the reads that he would get, the bat path that he's following and the jumps he would get was more natural for him because it was the same as what he saw from third base. Where Michael, he's going to go from second base to left field, and that may play a little bit in, may affect his learning curve in left field. And by no means are we committed to Michael playing left field. We have to let this play out. We value the versatility in players. If Michael's able to go to left field and play out there because we want another left-handed bat in somehow and it makes sense for him to go out there, we want him to be prepared to do that. And the same thing can be said for India. You know, we feel the same way about India and even Michael Garcia. All of that, the flexibility those three players give us will allow us to put the pieces together. It's just going to take a little bit of time. You know, we're going to need to see it in spring training, get comfortable with one or two of those guys doing those things. And once we get there, I can answer that a lot better. But I do think Michael has the ability to do it because he's a good athlete.
Does that mean you'll look at the India and Massey at third too? Just like super flexibility, right? Like, could they play five games at third or anything else, you know?
Yeah. No question, because you guys watched us play. I mean, Q likes to match up. He likes to optimize, not necessarily just your starting lineup, but what do we have on the bench for a particular bullpen? So we may put lineups together according to that as well. But the more versatility you have, the better off you're going to be. Even mid-game changes you're making. You pinch hit, you pinch run, now you have to move somebody to another spot. The experience that they can gain through spring training in the first half of the year will be really valuable, for the back half of the season.
We're talking to the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, JJ Piccolo, here on 96.5 The Fan. Knowing how healthy you guys were for the most part as a team, and certainly when it comes to rotation, what can you do? How do you plan for what potentially could be, regression-wise, not even so much performance, but just health? Of course, you would love to be perfectly healthy in 2025, but that's usually not how this thing goes.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. It's something we're really aware of. When we reflect on the year and why did we have success, it always comes up in those conversations. Our starting rotation was healthy, and they were healthy all year long. So how do you prepare? It's depth in your starters. So you go Reagans, Lugo, Waka, Marsh, Chris Bubich, Noah Cameron. They're the ones, and I forget, Kyle Wright is coming back this year as well. So we're starting with seven deep, which is a good thing. Daniel Lynch is another person who could start for us. So count Daniel, it's eight. So you just have to have depth in the minor leagues as well. So most of those guys I just mentioned, if not all of them, are going to be on our major league team opening day. But who do you have in AAA that also can step in and make a start or two? So it's really... We have the quality, now we're looking at quantity. If you're going to protect yourself against injury, it's the quantity of guys you have that can step in when needed.
Kyle Wright, is this considered, are you guys going to treat it as a rehab year? I know last year, Chris Bubich, really what it was July, I believe, before he was available really for you guys, and it was a rehab year. He was exceptional when he came back in the bullpen. Is that what fans should expect in terms of timeline or anything like that for Kyle Wright?
I think he's a little bit ahead of Chris. There's some reasonable expectation that he could be ready in April. Again, with him, it's going to be what's he look like in spring training, facing hitters, feel of pitches. I think we have to prepare ourselves that it may not be opening day. If it is, that's outstanding for us. But he would be handled quite differently because he's so far removed from his surgery and he's ready to go in the early part of the season, where Chris Bubich, it was the latter part of the season that he was going to return. So I think it's a little bit different, different injuries. So how guys respond between elbow and shoulder can be very different as well. But we liked where Kyle was at the end of the season in his bullpens, the velocity we were seeing. He was gaining feel of his pitches, so he felt good about it. So we'll be optimistic that it'll be ready opening day, but realistically, I think it may be a little bit into the season, and then, you know, it's kind of just monitor as you go.
JJ, I want to ask you a couple of bigger baseball questions. I have openly stated, I think Alex agrees with me, I think baseball has to do something about the deferred money contracts. I think it's bad for the sport. Rob Manfred had said that the deferrals can become problematic. We see this money, certainly by the Dodgers and other teams, being handed out 10, 20 years down the road. Do you think that serves this sport? Does it put small market clubs like yours at an even greater disadvantage?
I think that it does. I don't think there's any question, especially when you see, you know, how much is being deferred into the future in future years when you hit $1 billion. But what I will say is, you know, the Dodgers have the right to do that right now. And who are we to say they shouldn't be doing that when they have the financial means to do it? But it does create a gap, and it does change the dynamics of the game. And, you know, it furthers the financial gap even more. But, you know, I can't get too consumed with that. As the leader of this organization, we can't get wrapped up in that. We know what our rules are, and we go by them, and we make it work. I mean, that's the challenge of this job, and quite honestly, that's what makes it exciting and fun. You know, I don't work for teams that are deferring money, so I just try to stick to what we can do than worry about what they are doing.
I'm curious, what was your first reaction when you heard even the remote idea of something called the Golden Bat Rule?
Not too crazy about it.
As a baseball purist, I imagine that's a bit of a jump.
Yeah, and that caught us off guard. And we had come out of meetings 2 or 3 weeks earlier talking about other potential rule changes down the road, which happens every year. There's always, you know, proposals, but that wasn't one of them. And then when I found out that was actually an old interview that was brought back to life and it caused a stir, it made a little bit more sense to me. But needless to say, I wouldn't be too crazy about that. And there's all kinds of holes in that type of rule, but I wouldn't be too crazy about a rule like that.
Where is, like you'd mentioned, the starting pitching and the stuff that comes with it, where is your minor league system as you see it right now versus like maybe when you took it over or where it was before you guys went on the run in the early 2010s? Just where do you guys internally view your minor league system as far as how close it is to helping you regularly, either in trade or at the big league level?
Yeah, no, well, in trade, there's no question that it can help us right now. I mean, that's the question for us, right? How much of the future do you want to give up for this current team? If it's really impactful, sure, you got to look at it. But we have to think short-term and long-term. And a lot of guys that are in A-ball now or maybe even in AA that are 2 or 3 years away, they're a big part of our future because the team that we have right now is not going to be the team we have in 28 and 29. So we need to make sure we hold on to the right guys. Doesn't mean we won't make a trade, but our system is healthy. I mean, we have plenty of opportunity to trade any prospects we'd like to. If I had to say where's our strength, I think it is the depth of the pitching throughout the system. There's a lot of guys that are in AA that we think are pretty close. Some guys you got a taste of AAA that are pretty close. And then there's guys that are in A-ball that we're excited about. So the pitching is where we feel really good. There's a couple of big bats that we think are going to impact our big league team in the next, I'll say, 2 years, 2 to 3 years. You know, one in A-ball, one in AA, and one that came out of last year's draft, you know, in Jack Caglione. So, you know, there's a few bats that we view as impactful bats that just may not be ready for the big leagues today.
Does he have the most raw power, big league or otherwise, in the organization?
Yeah, he does. Not to take away from anybody else, but it's different.
Freakish.
It's loud. Yeah. I mean, he'll miss hit a ball to the opposite field 420 feet. And you don't, it's just there's strength there that allows him to do that. That's how he's made. So he just got that natural power, but he's got a good swing. He's got a good feel for the strike zone. So it's not just the raw power. He was drafted because he performed with that raw power, drafted where he was drafted because he performed with that raw power. But it's legitimate raw power. It's as good as you'll see.
JJ Piccolo, general manager of the Kansas City Royals. Good to check in with you. Appreciate it. I'm sure we'll do the same thing next month.
Sounds good, guys. Happy holidays to you.
Absolutely. Happy holidays. General manager JJ Piccolo joining us here on 96.5 The Fan.
Interesting he didn't bring up the middle of the order bat. That was kind of an off-season conversation a little bit.
Well, I think, so he said 75% of where, yeah. So you asked him kind of their basically the goals that were mentioned, getting a leadoff hitter, bringing back Michael Wacha. So that would be that, I would imagine that's
part of that 25%.
Well, that's part of the 75% that they've already done. And then there's a 25%, which I think is very obviously still a middle of the order bat. But he did say, quite honestly, I think I'm paraphrasing, but I think he said, quite honestly, waiting for some prices to lower.
Yeah.
And that's
waiting for the deals.
And that's, you know, why I asked, do they have the flexibility like they had a year ago, which we all know financially that necessarily weren't in position in December to go spend the money on Wacha, but then they got to a point where, hey, we can go and really help ours. We can go get another player and we're willing to, maybe they extended out the payroll last year more than it was initially slotted to be. Are we seeing it kind of balance back out this year, or are they willing to go and once again push it a little bit? And it kind of sounded like that it's not an impossible thing, but that would have to be involved in a trade more so than a free agent acquisition.
Yeah, it sounds like yes, which I guess could bring back like the Cody Bellinger questions or the things about these advanced bats. That just makes me think Boehm. Like, it doesn't sound like they're going to go find
that would be nice.
The bat who's floating around in free agency who's going to require the $100 million deal. Like, it doesn't sound like that's the route they're going to go. And instead, it would be a player on a controllable contract with numbers that make sense, and that they might be more willing to give up minor league players to go with it. I'm just going to say it now. I think you and I should plan another Cody and Gold road trip to go watch Jack Caglione slap a baseball around, because he hits the ball so hard. I just want to see it in person once, you know? You want to do a road trip again?
Go to what, Arkansas?
Might be Omaha this year. He was in Double A for a little bit last year. Might be Omaha this year.
You think he'll start Triple A?
I don't know.
Was he in? I don't think.
I thought he got to Omaha. Did he only get to Double A?
I thought he was just A ball.
Okay. Oh man, he didn't get.
Remember,
to
he
Double
got
A?
Drafted last year, so he wasn't even there for.
Okay, so maybe back to Arkansas. I take
it
back.
Yeah, no, he.
But he's a college player, so they move through the system a little faster.
Sure. No, he high A ball. Yeah, Quad Cities.
Okay, so we'll start the year at Double A. We'll get to Triple A halfway through.
But back to what you were saying, like with just. The rest of the offseason. I mean, I don't know. Did you take that as like they're completely out on the middle of the order bat?
I took it as it didn't sound like it was as pressing as the way they were talking about it a month ago.
Fair.
They weren't talking about it with the same gusto as they were talking about it a month ago.
I think that is fair. The remaining 25%, if you were just going based off his answer about being 75% done, is the remaining 25% just going to be depth type stuff? I mean, that was part of the answer. Or are they completely out on the middle of the order bat? I don't believe they are. That's just my personal belief. I still think that there's another move to come before the start of the season. But if you were out there thinking Cody Bellinger, obviously that's off the table. If you were thinking some other middle of the order bat that maybe was mentioned early on, maybe that's not there. Is it Profar still a candidate to be involved in a trade? I think maybe so.
I think, again... That seems to be the level. And by middle of the order, I think they're really looking for someone in that 5-6 range. Look, we're good with Vinny, Salvi, Bobby. Like, a lot of the guys, and I think you and I both know Jonathan India is going to lead off of this team most of the time. So 1 through 4, all right, you got something a little bit cooking there. You're looking for the guys at 5-6 that add a little more power, can drive in some of these guys behind. That's not an easy bat to find. That has traditionally been kind of a bat that's disappointed them over the years, where it's been MJ at times or Hunter Renfroe at times or some of these other hitters where they've tried there at 5-6 and gotten not enough production out of that spot. It just didn't sound like he was talking about it with the same urgency. That's all. Not that it's off the table. The fact that they're only 75% done with their offseason plan, in my opinion, of where they wanted to be, tells me that they're still willing to have quite a bit of movement.
Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll get back into some of what J.J. Piccolo had to say and also more on the Cody Bellinger thing. What does that mean? Were they deep down actually involved in that based on what we just heard from J.J. Piccolo? That's coming up in a bit. But let's get to a quick random question of the day.
Random question.
For you, Gold. For you, Drew. The text line, 913-586-7965. Of course, like, subscribe, watch over on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. It always helps when you like and subscribe those over there. I'll ask you this question. Because everyone's been asking these Spotify rap questions. I know you don't listen to Spotify that much, and Drew is an Apple Music guy, so it's not that. My question is, if they made a Spotify rap for top 3 meals you've eaten most this year, what's number one?
Ooh.
What do you think is the food you've consumed?
Or just in general?
Just in general. I don't care if you make spaghetti and meatballs every Saturday night. I want to know your Spotify wrapped essentially, but for meals.
Yeah,
what's the food you've cooked the most? I think mine's pizza. If it's just all encompassing pizza, I think I've had pizza more meals because frozen pizza sometime for a lunch or eat out pizza for another one. I'm going to guess that's my number one consumed food this year.
Your number one, this is easy. Number
not Chipotle
one,
for you anymore.
No. Number one, if we're just including it, tacos. I've had, there's no question.
How many options do you get tacos a week?
At least once, maybe twice a week. I'm eating tacos. So it definitely tacos are probably the far and away the number one on the list of food item I've had the most of in 2024. I don't think it's close.
What's your number one beverage?
Ooh, like non-alcoholic beverage.
Yeah.
Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper.
Yeah. Okay. Like soft drink wise. And I don't usually like I don't keep soda or pop or whatever, like in the fridge or anything. It's if I'm going out somewhere like at a restaurant, then that's probably what I order most of the time.
What alcoholic beverage?
Probably just a standard Coors Light.
Just Coors Light. Yeah. Okay. Drew, what's your number one eating food?
Food, I would say either pizza or just chicken.
Like what kind of chicken, though?
Just grilled chicken? Chicken's too general. I'm talking like a meal. Chicken and because that's probably everyone's beef. Taco, that's like, I want like is it roast chicken? What kind of chicken are you eating?
Like baked chicken.
Okay.
I typically bake chicken if I have it. I'll bake it.
Text line 913-586-7965. Someone says lemon chicken pasta. Homemade or
really good. That
actually sounds really good. Someone says, what happened to Alex and Chipotle? You got we're separated. We're separated.
Seeing other people.
Yeah. Some of this is my
divorce.
A lot of it's my doing. Some of it's their doing. I don't go there very often anymore.
Someone said waters are number one, and then natural lights would be the number one.
I wish water was my number
alcoholic
one. It should
drink.
Be.
Yeah, if you're asking me to go past number one on food, slot, whatever, number one tacos, number two would probably be like, honestly, brisket or steak.
You've eaten that enough times, like once a week. I don't eat steak once a week.
Not once a week.
I probably had steak I've had it this year. It's not that. It's just like,
what's the place maybe you've
further down the
I know
list.
You don't eat out a lot, Cody, whether it's like sit down or fast casual, however you want to categorize. What's other than you making, what's the one item or place you think you've gone the most that's not you cooking?
I got little kids. It's probably McDonald's.
Happy Meals.
I'm going to guess McDonald's is number one in the
that's probably
eating
number one.
Out
it's
department.
Probably still number one for me.
If we eliminated it to like Spotify wrap of home meal, like cooks, I didn't limit this because you don't cook a ton at home, is like meals I've cooked at home. The answer is probably some sort of like red sauce pasta bake. I'm guessing we've made that once every two and a half weeks, like stuff comes back in the rotation.
It sounds like I'm a 4-year old.
You?
Why?
Oh, because you said pizza chicken? And chicken? Oh, well, I mean, that's
it's a pretty classic.
There's
a variety of chicken. Like, I think chicken is the food that I've eaten the most of.
So if they actually my favorite non-alcoholic drink is Propel. At work, I have. At home, I don't drink Propel. It's something in the more. So
if you actually track this, I think all of us would immediately change it. Like, if they did an actual Spotify drop at the end of the year, they were like, here's every meal you ate. Cody would be like, oh, God.
Oh, I know I don't eat healthy.
Like,
I know this already.
If you found out number three was donuts, but like, and then they gave you the number, though. Like,
no,
they do minutes.
I know.
And they
that
said, go, you've eaten 611 donuts this year. You're like, damn, I got to change some things.
Oh, I know I don't eat healthy.
I definitely know I don't eat healthy.
I've had way too many of those Hostess mini donuts in 2024. I'll tell you that. Way too many times.
But if they counted it, it would feel worse.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, there's no question. Now, Reese's peanut butter cup consumption way down probably 90% in 2024.
Chipotle and Reese's
peanut butter cups down 90% of my diet.
How about snacks then? I guess that's
like, what's the one snack?
Yeah.
I don't snack. Really? I don't snack.
But you and I, this is where in our midday slot, they make a lot of money off us in that company kitchen thing over there because
chips,
you'll grab chips. I'll grab chips. Like, I've been doing the Simply Pop, though. That stuff's good. I've been doing that during the break sometimes.
After work, sometimes I'll eat like a.
We're way late for a break. Sorry.
Cheese stick or
something. Just realized
that's all right.
That. But don't forget, though.
That's the random question
of the day. Up next, let's talk more about what's happening in Atlanta with Michael Penix. And we'll get right back into some of the comments from JJ Piccolo and the Royals.